Welcome again to our study on the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and therefore one that we should study very carefully, because it was given just 400 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came upon earth, and it concludes God's message to the children of Israel in those days. Well, we're looking at Malachi chapter 3 now. And in Malachi chapter 3, we have been told that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, that he is going to send his messenger, and that messenger will declare the ways of the Lord, of course, will be John the Baptist, and the Lord will come as a refiner, to purify the Levites, his ministers. Now then, prior to that, in chapter 2, the Lord has been delineating some of the sins of the children of Israel. And regretfully, they are the sins that are most prominent in the days in which we're living. It is divorce. That God is warning and says, I hate the putting away. God hates divorce. He said, therefore, watch over your spirit, that you do not reject the wife of your youth. God hates divorce. And don't forget, we live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. We live by the grace of God. And therefore, we do not want to do those things that God hates. For what will God think of us if we divorce? We must not divorce. We must not remarry. That is adultery. And here he is complaining at the awful immorality of the people of his day. You know, the Lord said, speaking of our days, he said, when the Lord cometh, it will be an adulterous generation. And we live in a valley where we pick up little children and bring them to our little church, you see, a kids' church, and we bring them, we teach them the Word of God, we play games with them, we give them food to eat, and then we take them back. And some of these children, you know, well, do we take you back? Who do we take you back to? Oh, I have to go back to mummy tonight. Another night, oh, I have to go back to daddy. They're living in different places with different partners. What does that do to a child? It destroys them. It gives them instability, insecurity. And it takes away what God had intended to be one of the most wonderful things upon earth. Marriage. And result is that these little children, you know, are a prey to every kind of vice. We do our best, but we can only do a little. It's so rampant. It's not only rampant in our valley with drugs and alcohol, immorality, people sleeping with different partners and so forth. Anxious to get the children out of the house. No paternal love, maternal love. No, nothing like that. And this was as it was in the days of Malachi. God said, I hate divorce. I hate the putting away. And this is what he calls it. He said he calls it treachery. Treacherous. Don't be treacherous against the wife of thy youth. In other words, be faithful to her. And that was the situation where he now speaks of the coming of the Lord. And of course, we're living in those days when we are anticipating the coming of the Lord. Certain things have got to take place beforehand. But nonetheless, we're living in a generation that's anticipating the coming of the Lord the Antichrist will come first, but then the coming of the Lord. And what is the purpose? You see, well, the coming of the Lord in the first place was to purify. To purify. John the Baptist spoke on repentance, a turning away from sin. To prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare his ways in your heart. And John the Baptist then presented Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel. Many of them accepted him. Some, quite a number, rejected him. But nonetheless, you see, the important thing was he came. And there was an awesome warning by John the Baptist. He's come to purge his, of all, shall I say, dross. Purge of dross, purge of iniquity, because he must be coming for a church without spot nor wrinkle. You know, what is one of the titles of God? It is the Holy Father. God is holy. Therefore, we have to be holy. You see, a father wants his son to be like unto him. And God, of course, wants us to be like unto him, and he is holy. And so he wants to make us partakers of his holiness. And he can only do that by chastising us, purifying us. We were in the Rand refinery in South Africa many years ago. And there, the director of the refinery was showing us, you know, the various aspects of how they purify gold. And they purify it in abnormally high temperatures, higher than any human could possibly experience, about 1100 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's necessary to have that purification, that heat, in order to separate the silver from the gold. And so it is necessary that we pass through fires of affliction in order to purify us so that we can truly become sons and daughters of the living God. Well, now, also, having said that, the Lord now tackles another sin that they were practicing. And that was a sin of omission, not commission. Commission, they were committing adultery and divorce and so forth. But a sin of omission. And God said, you are robbing me. And the people said, well, how are we robbing you, Lord? He said, by not tithing. You know, it's a law that every one of us should give 10% of our, shall I say, salary or whatever we receive to the Lord, 10%. And the thing is this, if we don't, we're robbing God. There were some Colombian youths who had extraordinary revelations of heaven and hell. And in hell, they saw people with huge, shall I say, plaques on their chest. And it was of a metal that was impervious to any heat. And here they were in the fires, but on these pieces of metal were written their sins. One had adulterer. Another had no tither. In other words, he was not a tither. He did not pay tithes. And you say, well, that's only a little thing. Oh, is it? But you see, the kingdom of God needs money. And God has instituted a means whereby each person should be paying tithes to the church so that the church can fulfill the Great Commission and go throughout all the world. And here he said, look, you're robbing me. That's a terrible thing to be a thief. I mean, in our society, wealth rate throughout actually all ages, you know, those who committed theft are punished. A horse thief sometimes was strung up in the Old West and hung because they thought thievery is so terrible. You know, they'd leave their horses out, they'd leave their cattle out, and they would think, you know, well, that's safe, you know. And somebody would come in and take their cattle. Well, they treated them harshly. They took them, put a noose around them, and put them on a horse. And then, with the rope round a branch, they would swat that horse. The horse would gallop, and the fellow on the horseback, the thief on the horseback, would fall, and he'd be strangled, and he would be dead in a couple of minutes. Well, that's what they thought of thievery. And I think it's a terrible thing to steal. In some countries, they cut their hands off. I think the president of Russia was advocating that those bureaucrats who took bribes should have their hands cut off them. It's a terrible thing, thievery. But in some countries, they do literally cut their hands off. Well, that's how we treat thieves in some countries. Others, we're a bit more lenient, and we put in prison. But that's one thing, stealing from another human being. But stealing from God, oh my. You're stealing from the one who has absolute authority. And many are in hell because they do not pay tithes. Now he said, if you will bring all the tithes into the storehouse, he said, I will bless you. I will bless you. And I will pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. And God has said, look, if you only do what I tell you, pay tithes, give unto the church, then he said, I will bless you. I will bless you. And you have not, because you do not give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, running over, shall men pour into your bosom as you give. So the degree that we give, we get. And the Apostle Paul puts it like this. He that soweth generously shall reap generously. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. So according to as we give, you know, to that degree, we shall receive. Now, there are some other things that God speaks of in Malachi. Things that are very important. Things that we must observe. And so he has said this, you know, you bring all the tithes in, you obey me in that area, and I will bless you. And I will pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. But now, you know, when the Lord was on the Mount of Olives, and he was asked about his second coming, the first thing he said, be careful that no one deceives you. So one of the things that he is in effect saying for these last days is that we do need the gift of discernment. We do need to be able to discern right and wrong. And here in Malachi, and I'd like you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles, to chapter 3 in Malachi, and from verse 16 to 18. And here it says, they that feared the Lord, again that thought of fearing the Lord, spake often one to another, and the Lord heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those that feared the Lord, and those that thought upon his name. So now we have a book in heaven that's devoted to those who have feared the name of the Lord and who speak often about him in a reverential manner, glorifying him. And it's written, And those books will be opened, and when we get to heaven, the Lord will say, well, look, this is recorded in my book of remembrance, that you spoke about me, that you feared my name, and I will reward you accordingly. Now then, also, we continue. And here we find this in verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. He said they will be special. Those that fear me, those that seek to please me, those that speak often about my word and talk about my word one to another, he said, they'll be in my book, but they'll also be my precious jewels. My precious jewels. They will be precious unto me. You know, in large families or even smaller families, often the parents do differentiate between children. There are those children they love all their children, but some are more precious to them. Some are nearer to them. Some give them great joy. Some they speak of with great affection because they are those that seek to do and please their parents in a very special way. And I had a brother like that who looked after my parents when I could not. I am thousands of miles away from my family, and, you know, my brother looked after my parents, and I'm very thankful for that, because I could not, but he was very dear to them. And rightly so, rightly so. And in their will, they made a greater provision for him and his family than for me. Rightly so, because he contributed more to them than I did. I could not. In fact, the years would pass by without me seeing them. I could not because of the ministry. But they made provision for him, greater provision for him than for me. And I understood that. And then that's how God is going to be. He loves everybody, but some are going to be very precious to him. Are you going to be precious to God? Is he going to look upon you with tenderness? Is he going to spare you from many trials and tribulations that others pass through? Because you're precious to him. And the key is to fear his name and talk often. Have Bible studies where you get around the word of God and speak about him. Well, in verse 18, then shall ye return and discern. See, there is a thought. Discernment is going to be given to those that speak often about the Lord and, you know, love his word and fear his name. You see, that is the key. See, discernment comes and is given to those who spend much time in his word. Well, what are they going to discern? They're going to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And that's very interesting, isn't it? You know, so many people, you know, sort of, shall I say, have a tendency of accepting everybody. But those with discernment say, oh no, that one is a hypocrite. That one is not really serving God. That one may lift up his hands in church, but his heart is far from God. You know, it is important to discern between the righteous and the wicked. So, that's very important for the last days, because God said, you know, beware that no one deceive you. So we need discernment. How is discernment coming? Well, you meditate on those verses, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. They are those verses that if you apply them to your life will bring discernment to you. All right, now we are going to look at the last chapter. The last chapter is very important indeed, because there are promises there, very precious promises. You know, of growing up like calves in the stall. Calves in the stall. You know, leather is greatly appreciated when it's a fine, supple leather. And is used to, you know, form the handbags of ladies, or is used, you know, for coats for men and women. And that, well, leather has to be very supple. It has to be without blemishes. And that is obtained through calves, calves in the stall. You know, the young cattle, they're placed in a stall and they are not allowed to roam. They are carefully controlled. And there they stay and eat. They become plump. And their skin is without blemish. And that is practiced often in northern Italy, where some of the finest leather goods can be purchased. It is because they keep those calves in a stall. And you see, he is saying, look, you know, if we follow the Lord with all our heart, we will be like calves in a stall, unblemished, and grow up quickly, mature quickly in his, shall I say, stall, under his control. Confining, yes, we are sometimes confined. Others can do it, we can't. No, others can do this, that, and the other, we can't. But we are confined in this stall. And if I could say that, we produce the best leather, best leather goods. Well, now I want to say this. You know, those who do so will be treading on their enemies. They'll be triumphing, you see. Under the care of the Lord, we grow up strong, mature, supple. We grow up without blemish, pure. And you know, if you look very carefully in the book of Revelation, those seven angels who brought forth the wrath of God in the last days come forth from the temple of God. They are purity personified. And you see, it is the pure that are given the privilege of treading over their enemies, winning victories, seeing God triumph. Think on this, the calves in the stall. Well, we come now to the last three verses, the last three verses of Malachi of the Old Testament. And it's very significant here that, first of all, it says, remember ye the law of Moses. So the last thing God says, he said, remember Moses, the law of God. And the New Testament opens with the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill it. And the New Testament is essentially to have the law of God, the Ten Commandments, written on the fleshly tables of our heart. And that will bring us into the Holy of Holies of God, the very holy place in the tabernacle, in the presence of God, before the Ark of the Covenant, within the veil. And then, the very next thing he said is that he will send Elijah the prophet. So there we have the two prophets, Moses and Elijah. The last verses, the last three verses of the Old Testament, remember Moses and his law. And I'm going to send Elijah, Elijah the prophet. And what will be the purpose of sending Elijah the prophet? It is that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's hearts or sons back to the fathers. In other words, he will restore family life. Otherwise, God said, I will come and curse the earth. And so, before the coming of the Lord, there are going to be those two witnesses that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 11. They're not mentioned by name, they're mentioned by deeds. One has the ability to indeed close heaven that rain does not come down. That is Elijah. That was Elijah's ministry. He closed heaven for 3.5 years and then rain came. And then the other one is that he turned waters into blood. That is Moses. Those two prophets will return and prophesy in Jerusalem before the coming of the day of the Lord. And beloved, we want to hearken to their messages. Their messages, and I repeat again as we close, is the law of God in our hearts, written on the fleshly tables of our heart. So from our mouths comes forth the truth of God that turns many to righteousness, and the ministry of Elijah. The ministry of Elijah is a ministry of repentance that turns families back to God, that turns families back to unity, where you have the father loving the son loving the father, the mother loving the daughter, and so forth, where you have family life as God ordained it. May God grant that this will be your privilege. Seek him, and you will find him. Amen.